And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen, Nick Alberga, Anna Dua in the house, breaking down all the crazy amounts of trades this past week. What's going on, Nick? NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered, of course, by our good friends over at Skip.
Yeah, the official food delivery app of the NHL, Pete. My goodness, the last 2 weeks have been climax for yours truly. A billion trades of significance. Let's bring in Anna Dua from the NHL fantasy team to break this mayhem down, because it seems like everything's come to fruition before Friday's 3 p.m. Eastern trade deadline. And then before we record this show, Anna, Tyler Bertuzzi goes to the Boston Bruins. Your initial reaction here?
The Bruins, as if they could get any better. They just keep getting better. This team is just going to be so deadly. Bertuzzi was kind of in a little bit of a slump in Detroit, but I mean, he's such a talented player, puts up like 4 or 5 shots routinely in a game, and now is on this crazy talented Bruins roster. We saw what Boston did to Dmitry Orlov immediately. He goes there, he's having a multi-goal game, so maybe the same thing's going to happen to Tyler Bertuzzi.
And as much as we talk about and hype up the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils after the Patrick Kane and the Timo Meier acquisitions, Nick, I think Boston has reminded everybody that this should be their year, right? This is the last dance potentially for Bergeron and Krejci. They're loaded. Their defense is complete. Nobody's got a more complete defense than the Boston Bruins, even teams like Carolina and Colorado. It's pretty incredible, the roster they put together. I don't know what this team's going to look like a year from now, but they should be hoisting the trophy at the end of the day, really, if things go according to plan and they stay healthy.
Look, never say never, but it really has that feel of a last dance, right? With Patrice Bergeron, everything they put together, the season they've had, now the acquisitions, you get Bobby Orlov in there, Dmitry Orlov, they're calling him Bobby Orlov. Like the guy, it's just ridiculous. Everything this team has touched this season has turned to gold, and that continues. And then you add Bertuzzi, Taylor Hall's banged up right now. So Pete, I want to talk, where does Bertuzzi fit into this lineup? Is it in the top six? Is it with Krejci and Pasternak? I know Zach has been taking that spot, but I think this boosts Bertuzzi's value. Do you agree?
I'm not so sure, just because Bertuzzi was a top liner with Larkin in Detroit, whereas now he's maybe a third liner with Taylor Hall and Charlie Coyle when they are healthy, which isn't half bad, but I mean, where is he slotting in? Maybe on the second line instead of Zacha. Maybe Zacha is droppable depending on what happens. But Jake DeBrusque is a staple in the top six. He's a top 100 overall player, even though he missed a couple of weeks because of injury, Anna. So I guess like maybe I would be more inclined, if you're in a super deep league, to pick up like a Charlie Coyle, just because he's going to be playing potentially for the rest of the season with Bertuzzi and or Taylor Hall when he comes back. So it's just a loaded top nine forward group. And I think that like it rivals to an extent the New York Rangers. The Rangers have maybe a little bit more star power, and a huge game yesterday from Tarasenko reminds us how deep their star power does go. But Boston's top nine, just tap into it any way you can.
I agree with Pete. I feel like we're kind of underestimating how much chemistry Zacha does have with Krejci and Pasternak. Obviously, he's not the player that Bertuzzi is, but that line has found a lot of success this year. They go on hot streaks all the time, Zacha included. So I see him falling to the third line. But if we're talking about the Boston Bruins and we're saying they're top nine forward group, I'm sure they're doing just fine. And I think there's a lot of value anywhere in the Boston Bruins lineup right now. But I wouldn't say they're as strong top six as the Rangers, because that's just like a cheat code team, guys. Like every time I look at this team, I don't know if you guys remember when we built our like NHL dream rosters like a couple of months ago, where we could choose players from like any position to fill out a roster. Like the Rangers look like that team right now. Like if you could handpick literally anyone from the league to be in your lineup, but the Boston Bruins are absolutely going to give them a run for their money.
It's really making me sit here and wonder like what's going on. Like if you do recall, guys, in the last say like decade, GMs have been reluctant to trade first round picks, and now they're literally going like hotcakes. Like, does everybody know only one Stanley Cup is given out per year, Pete?
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of disappointed teams around the league. Anna and I were talking about it yesterday. I mean, you always know in the hockey playoffs, one of the last seeds could get in and make a cup final run. I mean, we saw it a couple years ago with Montreal in the bubble. We saw, right, of course, St. Louis. They were so bad in the first half of the season, they went all the way. But I mean, like 12 of the 32 teams have a great chance to win the Stanley Cup. So it's really going to be an amazing postseason this upcoming year. And yeah, when I look at like some of the other moves out there, I think like even like in Ottawa, Ottawa's going to be dangerous on Thursday night. They're going to be dangerous down the stretch of the season. They added Jacob Chychrun. Like even teams like that, that are outside the playoff picture, are extremely dangerous on any given night, guys.
Yeah, I just want to preach the creativity first and foremost before I hand it off to Anna. Like that's the one thing that I think has been missing maybe the last 3, 4, 5 years in the NHL world is the creativity, the juices to do something outside the box. Like Philip Hronek, I didn't see him getting moved anywhere, but leave it to the Vancouver Canucks. Are they retooling? Are they rebuilding? Are they bought? Like nobody ever knows with that team. So I've been really, really impressed overall throughout this league with the amount of activity and also like the creativity, Anna.
This is the most exciting trade deadline that I've definitely been a part of and the most exciting one I've seen in a long, long time. The NHL is like in their feels right now. I don't know what's happening. Like all these original six teams are trying to act like they're back in their glory days. I've seen people on Twitter saying that New York is now the mecca of hockey. So it's going off the rails a little bit, but I like the big moves. And there's a huge move on the other coast that I don't think we've talked about yet. And that's Jonathan Quick going to the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they're getting Korpisalo in return. So that's the end of an era there. I know we're talking about the end of an era with Kane in Chicago, but that's a big, big move for LA. So they're getting risky. The GMs are leaving nothing on the table right now.
Petey, let's dissect this, man. I've got so many thoughts on this whole Jonathan Quick thing. I get it. You're Jonathan Quick. You've won a billion Stanley Cups, but you go to Columbus, you go to Columbus, my dude. Sorry. I just think it was so 2023 that Jonathan Quick got a bit upset. So now LA trades Jonathan Quick inside their division to a rival, I guess we can call them, who they could potentially play in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like that would just be the cherry on top to this whole deadline if that comes to fruition.
Yeah, for sure. A little slighted, I guess you could say, Quick is. But hey, past 5 years, sub 900 save percentage. It's time for the Kings to move on, and they did. So you got to give them credit for that. Remember, it felt a little weird a couple years ago when the Rangers moved on from Lundqvist. Lundqvist never even won Stanley Cup, and Quick's won it twice. So I get that there maybe is a little bad blood, but all things considered, people will remember Jonathan Quick as that guy that stood on his head with a strong defense in front of him and put up some astronomical save percentages in the playoffs. And I remember that one regular season when he was playing like 60 games and he had like a 930 something save percentage. I mean, just incredible stuff. He was one of the true workhorses in the league. But when you look at this trade, it's all about Korpisalo, man, fantasy wise.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been picking him up in recent days. Go and get this guy. Drop your Martin Joneses and your UPLs and any of those, you know, goaltenders that are like in the 16 to 25 range of our rankings, Anna, and pick up this guy because he might instantly be the best goalie in the Pacific Division, at least in my opinion.
First of all, I'd like to give a shout out to Columbus, Ohio. I feel like they're getting a lot of hate right now in the world. It's a pretty nice city, guys. Okay, it's clean. There's stuff to do. Their movie theaters have reclining seats. So Jonathan Quick is going to be okay, even if he's there for just a couple of days. But for Korpisalo, I agree, Pete. I feel like his ceiling is so high and people forget that. He has had one of the most ridiculous playoff performances I've ever seen in my life when he made those 85 saves against Tampa in that crazy, crazy game a few years ago. And he has a great save percentage this year considering the team he's on, and now he's going on to a strong LA Kings team. I know a lot of people have asked whether they should stick with Copley or pick up Korpisalo. I'm leaning Korpisalo over Copley right now.
Yeah, I have to agree with both of you guys. I think the full upgrade here is Korpisalo. You're not giving up those assets to have Korpisalo as your backup. So this Copley story has been fantastic, Pete, but I think it's time to live or die with the Corpedo, as I like to call him.
And hey, they might need to lean on Copley in the playoffs at different points, right? We always see the trends. It's good to have a good goalie tandem, but to go into the playoffs with not a liability, but a guy that hasn't also, like Quick, hasn't put up a 900 save percentage this season, despite winning all these games, is a little troubling. Now they shore up the back end with Korpisalo and Gavrikov. They still have Doughty. Kopitar went out and dropped a bunch of goals in his last game to remind everybody he's still an elite center, and their top nine forward group is one of the best out West. So yeah, in terms of the Eastern Conference with all these juggernauts and they're going to be beating each other up and who knows who's going to get out of it, I could see the LA Kings coming out of the Pacific. Yeah. And then, you know, depending on who they play on the other side, maybe like a Dallas or a Colorado, I think they would have a chance. The Kings can play high scoring. They could play low scoring or anything in between. So they could work that to their advantage.
Definitely a pathway for sure. I was watching some Vegas Golden Knights on Wednesday night. They beat the Carolina Hurricanes. I want to dive into the Jonathan Quick conversation a tad, because I do think if there's a coach in this league who can make Jonathan Quick find his game again, it's Bruce Cassidy. Hell, he made Aiden Hill look like an NHL goalie. He's made Laurent Boissois in three outings look like an NHL goalie. Like, it's crazy what Bruce Cassidy and that system will do for a goalie. So I actually think there's some untapped potential here with Jonathan Quick in terms of being the number one. It tells me Logan Thompson is nowhere close to returning for this Vegas team. And I actually think, and it's a stealth pickup. I know he's had a bad season, but you put any goalie in the right system and sometimes they flourish. And I could see that right now with Quick and the Vegas Golden Knights.
Maybe a change of pace is what he needs. I'm not as sold, to be honest. I think his glory days are behind him. He was a great netminder back in the day, but I just think there's a lot of goalie depth right now. So I'm leaning towards other options. Like Korpisalo is the goalie that I'm looking at in this situation that I take a flyer on, not Jonathan Quick. But if he ends up in Vegas, which I think is a great, great spot for him, if it manages to happen, maybe I would change my mind because they had a big win against Carolina yesterday.
And if you're also looking for a goalie, he hasn't been traded as of record time, but Thatcher Demko is back for the Vancouver Canucks. They're a non-contending team. He hasn't had a great year, but he stopped 34 shots the other day in his return, and they beat the Dallas Stars. So, I mean, it was a higher scoring game, but right, Nick, I mean, Demko is a guy. It's funny when you look at the Pacific Division and I say best goalie in the league in the Pacific playoff picture, that's because there are some decent goalies that are not going to be participating in the postseason this year, one of which is Thatcher Demko. The other is John Gibson, who's been near the bottom of that division for a while now, but has still had a bunch of 50 save games. So that's where we stand in the Pacific. The top teams don't have stable goaltending, and some of the teams near the bottom, that's what keeps them getting through the day, right?
I think the Demko move will be an off-season move. We need to have a breaking news bulletin on this podcast because the Bruins are choosing chaos on this morning. They've just extended David Pastrnak 8 years, $90 million. So maybe this isn't the last dance for that team. We're all wondering what was going to happen with Pastrnak. So the AAV comes in at 11.25 mil. Not too shabby in my world. Getting back to your question, Thatcher Demko's an elite goalie. And I know people don't want to have this conversation right now. I know Vancouver's a tire fire. I need like 48 hours to decompress why they traded for Philip Hronek, but that's a story for another day. We're going to have a lot of time to pick the pieces from this deadline, Pete. But Thatcher Demko is an elite goalie. And if I'm 31 other teams in this league or whoever needs a goalie, I'm calling Vancouver off the hook because, you know, they're open to everything. And I think Demko is a guy that could put my team over the top. I think he's that good, Anna.
And there's a lot of teams where that's the only concern they really have at this moment is to have a solid netminder, because a good goalie wins championships. I'm telling you, a good goalie can carry any team to a championship. We saw in Vegas's inaugural season, no one thought they were going to do anything. Marc-Andre Fleury gets them there all the way till the very end. So I think Demko's probably going to be on the move, to be honest. I don't think he stays in Vancouver. That's my prediction right now.
Okay.
Very interesting. So a lot of these defensemen, I mean, I can't imagine a day that was anything like yesterday, right? Where all these defensemen were traded on the same day and we had to shake up our defenseman rankings. You could follow them on NHL.com/fantasy. And again, the deadline's not till Friday. So we still could see other pieces on the move, but you know, whether it's Orlov, who was traded last week, Chychrun, who remains in our top 20 going to Ottawa. I guess, Nick, let's start with Chychrun.
Yeah.
Do you view him as Ottawa's surefire number one defenseman over Shabbat, over Sanderson for the short and long term? Because fantasy-wise, I'd want to be out there with guys like DeBrincat and Brady Tkachuk, some of the top performers in the league this season.
So I think for starters, there's a variety of ways to answer this question. And I should preface by saying I'm a Thomas Chabot owner. What's the biggest issue with Ottawa? They can't keep the puck out of the net. So why they go out and acquire Jacob Chychrun? Yeah, he can move the puck, but he's pretty sturdy defensively. So I think, you know, a dream scenario for this team is to have Chychrun in a defensive look, at least to start with the ability to push Chabot along. Chabot's been much better as of late. So I'd probably, from a fantasy point of view, still lean towards Chabot from the PP1 utilization, from the offensive utilization. In fact, I actually think, Pete, this boosts Thomas Chabot because he doesn't have to worry as much about the defensive end of the game, which is great news from a fantasy perspective. How would you view it, Pete?
That's a good take. I can buy into that for sure. I mean, Ottawa is right there in the thick of the playoff picture. They went out there and dismissed the Detroit Red Wings. They swept them. Detroit has since traded Hronik and Bertuzzi. So, you know, they're maybe not going for it all this season. They did re-sign Dylan Larkin. So they're going to keep, you know, their core intact to an extent. But to me, like earlier in the week, we were looking at Detroit as a sneaky play in the futures market. They were like plus 300 something. Now you can get an even better number on Ottawa, who's charging up Anna. And it's kind of like something coming into form that we saw in the preseason based on their offseason moves and stuff like that. Unfortunately, the goalies have been banged up and stuff like that. But Mads Søgaard, rookie of the month, maybe he's worth a look on the waiver wire in fantasy.
I'll give Nick's theory some credit. I see how that could come to fruition. But for me, you're welcome. But for me, Jacob Chychrun can move the puck and he can produce points very, very easily. The guy just does not play. Either he's injured or he's sitting out for like 3.5 years for trade related reasons. So like I need to see him actually play in order to make a decision on where he's going to fall into Ottawa's lineup. Because like back a couple of years ago, he almost had 20 goals and he played like under 60 games. So the guy puts up shots, he can put up goals, he can score, he can move the puck and create chances, but he just really has not played consistently throughout his time in Arizona. Moving to Ottawa, this is a new scenery. We're going to get to see a new Jacob Chychrun, and maybe he could be that number one D-man for the Sens.
Right, and that year when he had the 18 goals, I believe he led the entire NHL defenseman outlook at the position in the category, and this year he's like top five in shots on goal per game. So get in on the props. Hopefully he debuts Thursday against Patrick Kane and the New York Rangers. That would be really interesting, but if not, we always talk about the sneaky value of the Senators down the stretch. That is a dangerous, dangerous team, even if they don't make the playoffs.
Not to slag on Arizona, but we waited 18 months for that trade. Please, come on. I made t-shirts in that time. Let's talk about sneaky value on the back end. Erik Gustafsson with Toronto, the way Morgan Rielly's playing, there's an opportunity. There is an opportunity to grab that first power play job there in Toronto. I think Gustafsson's going to be a plug and play type guy. I think Rasmus Sandin is going to take Gustafsson's role pretty much with the Washington Capitals. I do not foresee, and this it's speculation on my part. If you're selling, shut John Carlson down for the season. That's what I would do there. Even the Matthias Ekholm pickup, guys, and Anna, we can start with you, just your breakdown on some of these trades. Matthias Ekholm, I think, has some really, really strong value. You're not really going to see it, but then you look even in terms of a fantasy perspective against the Leafs, gets an assist, plus two. I think he had a couple hits in that game. So he's going to offer a bit of this, a bit of that, and he's being paired with Evan Bouchard.
For sure. I really like that pickup for Edmonton, to be honest, right now. That was a great move for them. I think he's exactly what they needed on their blue line. I think Bouchard also has an uptake in value right now. He's playing on power play one for the Oilers. Tyson Barry leading all defensemen in power play points this season, just based off of being in that role. So I think there's a lot of value to look at on the Edmonton blue line. But shifting back really quick to Erik Gustafsson, I think he really proved his own. He filled some really big skates in John Carlson's absence, and I think he could be exactly what Toronto needs. He is probably going to see first unit power play time, and I really could see him thriving in that role. And for Washington, Rasmus Sandin, I love how Nick was like, this is a hot take, he's going to fill Erik Gustafsson's spot. They have no other options, so Rasmus Sandin is going to have to fill his spot because their entire defensive core is completely different within the last like 3 weeks. I think everyone is completely changed.
I think one of the biggest success stories of the deadline is the Edmonton Oilers not having to break up their core forwards and still acquiring upper echelon defenseman in Matthias Ekholm. So, and like you said, it's going to benefit Bouchard. Bouchard is one of my most disappointing players in the entire NHL season because what Tyson Barry was doing power play point wise, I was hoping it was going to be Bouchard because of how good Bouchard was in even strength points last season. It just hasn't happened that way. So yeah, if like what you said about him, it benefiting Chychrun, benefiting Shabbat, that could definitely happen with Bouchard. Bouchard could put up like 10 plus power play points the rest of the way. And Ekholm's going to score points by accident playing at even strength with guys like McDavid and Draisaitl. So it's going to be fun to watch.
No doubt about that. I want to use these airways as well to credit Washington, St. Louis, Nashville for pretty much embracing the rebuild or the retool, the reset, whatever you want to call it. I personally, I think Pittsburgh can take note here. What was that Granlund pickup, Pete? Can you please explain that pickup to me from a fantasy perspective, from a team perspective? Is he the guy that's going to win Crosby another cup? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And it's not something where the guy is a strong analytics player either, for what that's worth. So it's just like adding him to the top nine, and it's not going to help your team long term because he's just an expiring contract. So yeah, with teams like Tampa that they keep getting to the conference final, to the cup final and stuff like that, I can see it. They're being a little reckless. They're just having fun out there and seeing how long the joyride lasts. But the joyride's over for Pittsburgh. I mean, they haven't gotten out of the first round of the playoffs in God knows how long. I know they keep getting there, and we're talking about the long playoff streaks at like 15, 16 years. But this team is not a cup contender anymore. And I mean, Crosby and Malkin, Letang, like, go out and prove me otherwise. But I'm just not seeing it anymore. They're on a downward trend, and they're being a little reckless with trading away first and second round picks for marginal forwards that are not going to really make a difference at the end of the day.
They are, but for me, Pittsburgh's one of those teams when if they're in the mix, like they make the postseason and they're there, you just never know. You know what I mean? They have such a strong, solid core group that they could surprise every single person. I agree that they are being a bit reckless, but at the same time, they have like one last, maybe a tiny glimmer of hope to get something done with the core group they have right now. And I respect them for trying to go out and get it. Makes me a little sad that Washington's kind of closed up shop and given up. It's a little bit an end of an era there.
You just stack Pittsburgh up against the rest of the Metro. You look at the Devils, you look at Carolina, you look at the Rangers, look at the Atlantic Division. Like, I don't know what they're thinking there. There's a reason, you know, what was hashtagged and trending on Twitter after that Granlund trade. Fire Hextall was trending if you missed it. I don't know the direction. And it's very Brian Burke, we'll put it that way. Like And I get it to an extent, and the Capitals haven't done it, right? You feel like you owe something to Crosby and Malkin and Letang. They sign long-term, and you want to give them every opportunity every year to win. But I don't mind the mentality, Pete, from the Washington perspective, where it's like, we're going to take a step back for 1 year, and I wouldn't be shocked if they're right back in the mix next year. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and stockpiling some picks can turn things around for a franchise in just a season or two. And Ovi's not going anywhere. He's going to be on the Gretzky chase for the next couple of years. So they're going to be relevant. They're not going to be like one of the worst teams in the league by any stretch, especially when John Carlson is back healthy for next season. So yeah, for Sandin, just to touch on him and get a word in about him, I feel like he was always underutilized with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Didn't really get much first power play time over the years, despite excelling in his role on the third pair for all these years. Whenever he got, sometimes he wasn't even in the lineup, right? So yeah, I'm excited about his potential to be out there with Ovi and Kuzi and Backstrom and Oshie, and he's gonna fall into some nice multi-point games routinely, at least for as long as Carlson is out.
See, he's been complaining, or not really complaining, but just been a naysayer and wanted a bit more in terms of ice time, and I get it. He's gonna get tons of that with Washington, Anna.
He is. That video of him leaving during practice was so sad, though. It felt like I was watching TMZ. He just walks off the ice. He's so sad. And they're just like, he got traded to Washington. Poor guy. What a way to go out. But he's still so young. I think in hockey, we always forget these guys start years younger than any other professional sport. You never know what type of player they're going to be until they're in their like mid-20s. And Sandin is so, so young. Washington has a lot of great veterans who I think could really help him out. He's going to be playing with a lot of really skilled, talented players who've been in the league a long time. This might be a good thing. He might not be as sad in a year or two.
So let's get to some fan questions here. We got Ekholm or Bouchard rest of season. I think it's interesting when you compare them because you know that there's going to be a positive impact on Bouchard, but he hasn't really done jack this year, right? Like, let's be honest. Peter. So, I mean, I think Ekholm's like the more well-rounded player at the surface of this trade. He's the better overall defenseman at this stage of his career. That's another guy that's been hindered through the years, right? First it was Subban or Shea Weber, and then it was Yossi running the show. Like, Ekholm could be their clear number one defenseman for the rest of the season.
I hope the Bouchards from Oakville, Ontario do not hear this, but I'm going to side with Matthias Ekholm in this situation. I'm just one of those guys, again, very similar to Thomas Chabot. I've been just buried too many times by owning these guys. Bouchard hasn't lived up to snuff so far, so I'm going to go with Ekholm. I love that fit, and I don't think he gets enough respect offensively what he can bring to the table. Watching that game against the Leafs on Wednesday night too, just the headman passes, just having McDavid around you, there's going to be residuals like crazy for Ekholm.
I'll play devil's advocate here. Okay. I'll give Bouchard a flyer, not to boost up Oakville. No, we don't need to mention that. Basically Burlington. But anyways, guys, like, listen, you could put like a pylon on that first power play unit for Edmonton and it would put up points. So that's what I'm saying right now. So regardless of what's going on or how he's playing, I love that lineup position so much. If he can just hold on to it and find a little bit of groove, he's going to be the next Tyson Barrie, as they say. Mm-hmm. So I might side with Bouchard barely though, barely.
Yeah. But to that defense, like they, how many opportunities have they given Bouchard throughout this season with when Barrie was stinking up the joint? I mean, let's face it. Barrie's a one-dimensional player. He's known to be a power play guy, and you know he didn't have moments this season where he was producing. They put Bouchard there and he's not doing his thing. But I think, long story short, Pete, I mean, it takes, you know, a longer amount of time for a young defenseman to find it in the NHL, so we will give Bouchard the benefit of the doubt here.
And remember, this is a good time around the trade deadline to reassess your entire roster. And a couple of people have reached out this week, said, I've had it with Aaron Ekblad, I'm dropping him. So there are so many guys to choose from. I mean, maybe guys like Orlov and Gustavsson are not available anymore. Certainly Chychrun, people were holding pat on him, but you could drop Ekblad for any number of these guys that were on the move, whether it's Sandin, Shane Gostisbehere going to the Carolina Hurricanes. That's a sneaky little move. They can use him on the first power play whenever they want to. He doesn't even need to play every night, but just a reminder that, you know, some of these guys are out there, and be quick to pull the trigger, because now's the time to do it. Otherwise these guys are going to be scooped up for the rest of the season and you won't have anything to do. So Ekblad to me, another one of those huge disappointments. Maybe it's injury related, but I think it's safe to cut the cord on him in fantasy right now.
I just can't get over where we were at this time last year, where the Florida Panthers are buying everything. They're getting, you know, Sherrod. I mean, it was just crazy bedlam mayhem. And then they lose to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then they make the big trade in the offseason. And I don't know if they're going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, quite frankly, but I digress. Jack Campbell or John Gibson rest of season? What a question. Can I fade both?
I would probably go Jack Campbell there, but yeah, that's dude, not looking too good with the goalie outlook for some of those teams.
Can you believe it's Edmonton, Toronto on a Wednesday night, and the guy they went out to be their number one is not playing? It's Stuart Skinner. Please, please. Guy's got nothing left.
Put some respect on Stuart Skinner's name.
Jack Campbell a great amount of money to be their number one goaltender, but he has not played well, Anna.
I hear it's because he walks his cat. I don't know. Some guy said that in the offseason.
It's possible.
Stuart Skinner was an all-star this year. Let's not forget about that, right?
I'm not slagging Skinner. I'm just saying what's going on with Jack Campbell, man. It just hasn't been great.
No,
Nick's just jealous of his mustache, guys, of Stuart Skinner's mustache. He's kind of stealing your thing.
Fair enough.
Very true. So looking at some of these other guys like Filip Hronek, would you pick him up even in a deeper league? I mean, this guy was one of the biggest success stories in the first 2-3 months of the season, has tapered off a little bit now, and is going to a team that, I don't know, doesn't really have their ducks in a row, direction. You could say. They're getting nice offensive performances nightly from Beauvillier and Pettersson and Kuzmenko and Quinn Hughes, but I just don't know what they're going to be looking like depth-wise for the rest of the season. Their defense is kind of a wreck.
Believe it or not, my dream is to be a GM in the NHL. Sorry to you guys, I love doing this podcast, but what I'm getting at is the Vancouver Canucks give me hope. They give me hope to be a GM in this league, because anybody can do the job, quite frankly. And not to rip on that team. Jimmy Rutherford's a good dude. It's been great to me over the years in media. He's won Stanley Cups, but can somebody please explain what Vancouver's doing? Anyways, you get Filip Hronek in the mix. I think there's opportunity. There's possibility to play with Quinn Hughes. I have no clue the direction of the Vancouver Canucks right now. Either you commit to a rebuild or you don't do a rebuild. There's nothing of this in-between stuff.
I don't know what they're doing either, to be honest. I have like no idea. That move surprised me. I wasn't expecting it. Might have been the most surprising thing that's happened so far this week for me, at least trade-wise. I don't know if I would take a flyer on him right now, to be honest, because I just don't even know what they're going to do with him, where he's going to fall, how this team's going to pan out. He was having a great season with Detroit, but at the same time, no one was expecting it. It was a little bit of a fluke. Now he moves to this team where there's nothing they have. Like, I can't even tell you what they're going to do tomorrow. They could switch up absolutely everything tomorrow, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. So for me, I just, like, Vancouver is just like not in my mind right now. There's like 31 teams in the NHL for the rest of the season. The Canucks are not one of them.
Couple other trades of note. I don't know the pick people will go out and pick up Jesse Puljujarvi going to Carolina, where they're like a million Finns, by the way.
Crazy.
Kokaniemi, Aho, Teravainen, right? Ranta, pretty crazy there. But since we last talked, Evgeny Dadonov, nice prediction by Nick the other day when he said he could be the next Radulov, goes out there, scores a highlight reel goal on the fast break, and then has an assist in his second game on Wednesday. So maybe we're looking at Dadonov with a renewed fantasy purpose a little bit.
Hey, it's like he looks around. He's like, I need a new contract. Let's start playing hockey again. Not to rip on this guy too much, but it happens a lot with Russian players in this league. They find their way when they want to find their way, if you know what I'm saying. So maybe he's rejuvenated by the potential of playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs here. Love Gurianov. I thought he looked pretty good in his debut with the Montreal Canadiens as well. And that was the creativity I was talking about, right? Two GMs got together, and Jim Neal and Kent Hughes, they made a creative deal, and I think it could benefit both sides. But you look at Dadonov, there's no secret, Pete. We know the skill is there. Let's see it on a game-by-game basis here, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's played well with Barkov in the past, 70-plus point player. He's bounced around the league ever since then, but... it's somebody that I would considering picking up, but just because Dallas is one of the strongest teams out West, plays a little bit with Sagan or Ben or or both. And all of a sudden you're talking about one of the, like, I could see him being like, nobody was talking about it at the time of the trade, but there's always one of those guys every year that when you look at it at the end of the regular season, like, all right, this guy was the second or third most productive player that moved at the deadline. And I could see him quietly getting into that conversation, Anna.
I swear Nick said everyone was going to go to the Dallas Stars at some point. Like, anyone would be in the trade rumors, and Nick would be like, I have an under the radar team where they're going to end up.
Patrick
and
Kane. I said that for Kane. Yeah.
I saw hashtag Texas hockey all over your Twitter for like the last month. Okay.
Probably.
But I mean, he is going to rejuvenate his career by being in Dallas just because of who he's playing with. I really like what they're doing with their power play situation too. I like Sagan on that second unit. I like him with Sagan on that second unit. So I think that he's going to turn his game around pretty quick because he is a good player. And I agree, if he wants to play, he's going to show up.
Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? That's the question. It's time for the Deliver of the Week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have, Pete?
I think the LA Kings went out there and delivered to their fan base and their deep roster a viable goaltender in Jonas Korpisalo. So the LA Kings gave me the delivery of the week because Korpisalo, 913 save percentage, even better at even strength for one of the worst teams in the league. And I think he could be a hidden gem out there in the Pacific Division and take the Kings pretty deep this year.
I've been waiting to say this, and the time has finally come. My delivery of the week is Dawson Mercer, guys. 7-game goal streak, 9 goals, 14 points in the span. The kid's a stud. He's a star. Someone called it in the offseason. I'm not going to say who, but she's really smart and good at her job. And now he might be playing with Timo Meier, who's such an elite talent. So sky is the limit for this guy. I'm so happy right now. This is a great day.
We know you like Dawson Mercer. My player, I'm going with a specific player here, Dmitry Orlov. They're calling him Bobby Orlov in Boston. 3 games, 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points, 1 power play point, 4 shots on goal. And yeah, he's playing with Charlie McAvoy. What a pickup for the Boston Bruins. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Give props to the NHL.com headline writers. The headline yesterday was Dawson's Streak. I love that. Ode to the TV show,
nice,
Dawson's Streak. So anyway, I wanted to also ask you before we wrap, Toronto Maple Leafs, nobody's really talking about them, but I think they made a couple of moves on the blue line to make their chances of getting out of the first round a little bit better, right? Luke Shen, Gustafson, like, how do you look at this Maple Leafs defensive outlook? Because I feel like their defense, Anna, is probably better than it's ever been in the Austin Matthews era.
I'm going to have to dig out that old Shen jersey from back in the day with the Reebok jerseys and that chunky Maple Leaf. But I agree, their blue line is as good as it could be. Maybe this is just what they need. It's so tough, though, because every single team right now in the Eastern Conference that's a cup contender is so strong. They've become stronger. Within the first round, we're going to see well-deserving teams not make it and be out immediately. I don't know if Toronto is going to be able to beat a Tampa Bay Lightning in that situation, even with all the moves that they've made. They might, but it's really a toss-up right now, guys. It's like a coin flip in every single matchup we're gonna have.
You know what's fascinating? Little birdie tells me it was between Tampa and Toronto for Luke Shen, and he landed with the Toronto Maple Leafs, where he thought he was headed to the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I digress. I think from your perspective, you're bang on, Anna. I think the margin for error is so slim. It's going to be an unbelievable series. Tampa picks up Janot. I wouldn't be shocked if the Lightning pick up one more defenseman. Is it Edmondson? It's going to be a great series, Pete, but your guess is as good as mine as to what way it's going to go. I just think by almost default, you have to side with the Tampa Bay Lightning just because they've been to three straight Stanley Cup finals. They got Vasilevsky, they got Hedman, they have Kucherov, Stamkos, and others. It's going to be a great series, though.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've seen, though, the Lightning get exposed a little bit in certain games, right? They've got beat up against the Florida Panthers and then lost to them again the other night. So they've lost multiple games to a couple of teams that might be outside the playoff picture. So if you were to ask me right now, Tampa or Toronto, I would probably actually side with Toronto for the playoffs. And another guy they added that I really like, Jake McCabe. So it's like a three-headed monster, I guess, of trades that improved the blue line. I think they're going to miss Sandin a little bit, but these are other guys that are more equipped for the roles they're going to be playing and are not going to be, you know, wishing to be playing on first power play. Maybe Gustafson a little bit, but it's even if you have Gustafson, it takes some pressure off Morgan Rielly and stuff like that. And Morgan Rielly can do what he does best.
Just putting it out there before we leave, the one guy in this podcast who's not from Toronto is siding with Toronto. So we got to reevaluate our priorities, Nick.
Just to win one round, though. I don't think they're going any further than that.
It's been 18 years since they won a playoff round, and unfortunate to them, they're playing the best team in the NHL for my money. So there you have it.
Well, good stuff, guys. Great to catch up with you. There'll be a couple more trades. You guys will get to them early next week. So for Nick Alberga, Anna Dua, Pete Jensen, thanks so much for listening. NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And I'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks, but the show comes back on Monday. The show goes on. Thanks for listening.